In case you haven't noticed, Christmas is kind of a big deal, isn't it? We like to celebrate Christmas, don't you? The average American will spend $700 each year on Christmas gifts and goodies. Kind of neat. I kind of brought the average down a little bit. So we cut down 30 million live Christmas trees every year. Kind of a cool thing to do, I suppose. But we put 150 million strings of lights up each year, which is another kind of a cool thing that we do. I love it all. I love all of Christmas. How about you? I mean, I like the parties. I love the Christmas carols. I love all the Christmas fudge. Not so much the shopping, but, you know, I go through it anyway. I mean, I can do a couple clicks on Amazon like the next guy. I mean, I'm pretty good at that, but I just love Christmas. I love watching the movies of Christmas. I love everything about Christmas. One of the reasons why I love Christmas so much is because somebody is going to ask the Christmas question. Somewhere along the line, maybe it's a child who was drugged to a Christmas Eve service. Or maybe it's a teenager who is more interested in girls and gaming than they are the gospel. Maybe it's a young couple who has their very first child, and this is their first Christmas. Maybe they're the ones who ask the Christmas question. Maybe it's a grieving spouse who is spending the first holiday season alone. Somebody's going to be asking the Christmas question. It happens all the time. Christmas question is this: what's the big deal about a baby born in a manger? And that's a wonderful question to ask, and I want to answer that question with just four words. Now, I'll use more than four words, but I want you to focus on particularly four words, all right? The first word is whatever. Can we all just say whatever? Whatever. Yeah, and that's usually a word that means like, who cares, right? Or I don't care. Like, for instance, it might be, oh, Grandma sent me socks and underwear again. Oh, whatever. Yeah, you've said that before. Or maybe it's like, you know, do we have to go to Cousin Earl's house again? Thank you, whatever. Ooh, man, she is on tonight. Yeah, whatever. It can mean who cares. But when we're talking about Christmas, whatever means that God will do whatever it takes to demonstrate His love for you. That's what whatever means at Christmas time. There was a king, I was just reading about it, who a couple of times a year that he would take off his royal robes and anything that would identify him as the king, and he'd put on the clothes of a peasant, and he would go out into the community. And boy, that worried all of his court officials, because they were worried about the danger and everything's going to happen. And he said this. He said, I cannot rule my people unless I know how they live. When you think about Christmas, that's really what we're talking about. We're talking about the fact that, yes, God, He rules the world with truth and grace. But the way that He found out how we lived is He took on the form of humanity. He became a human being. Jesus Christ became a fertilized egg in the womb of a virgin girl. Now, I know some people, they have questions about the virgin birth. I've got questions about the virgin birth. And we can talk about those back and forth and wonder about it. But I think wondering is something we should do. We should take a moment to be in wonder, to sense an amazement, to have an awe of what God has done. Now, can I explain the virgin birth? No. But there's plenty of things that God does that I cannot do. In fact, because God was able to become a man in the womb of a virgin girl only demonstrates that He is God and I am not. He can do plenty of things that I cannot do, including if He wants to be born of a Virgin Mary. He can, and He was. There was someone who was trying to describe the whatever that God is willing to go to. And so they asked the question, do you know how much God wants to share His life with you? So much that He comes crawling to you on His hands and knees as a baby. That's the whatever of Christmas. What's the big deal about a baby in a manger? Well, not only it's whatever, it also includes the whoever. Everyone say, whoever. Whoever, yes, whoever. That's what the angels were singing. And they said they bring good tidings of great joy that will be to all people. And I look at the characters of Christmas and I see they all represent us in one way or another. Maybe it's the shepherds. Maybe you can recognize with the shepherds a lot, saying, you know, I feel maybe I'm overlooked or I'm underappreciated. Or maybe it's like Joseph. You're a hardworking father. You're trying to care for your family, make some decisions about this family that's suddenly growing and you have extra responsibilities. God came for you. Maybe you can recognize with Mary. Maybe you've been somebody who you're trying to be obedient to God even at a very young age. That's a terrific thing. But you know, sometimes Mary gets a free pass at Christmas, doesn't she? I understand why people might think that, but here's the truth of Christmas. Mary not only needed to receive Jesus as her son, she also needed to receive Jesus as her Savior. Maybe you can identify with the wise men, these people who are very intelligent. They did not allow their education to be a barrier that kept them from God. They allowed their education and their intelligence to be a bridge that brought them to God. Or maybe you can identify with old King Herod. You know, he was one who tried to kill Christmas. You look at Herod's life, you know, he lived a wicked life, a desperate life, and there was a lot of hard things that he not only endured, but a lot of things that in pain that he inflicted on other people. Do you know what? God came for whoever. God came for all the shepherds of this world and all the Josephs of this world and all the Marys and all the Herods and all the wise men. God came for everyone because God sent His Son for whoever because He wants a relationship with each and every one of us. It's not His will that any of us would perish, but that we'd all come to a moment of repentance, a place where we turn our lives over to Jesus. A third word that answers the question, what's the big deal about a baby in a manger? It's not only whatever and whoever, it's wherever. Wherever, you know, and I think of the whole story of Christmas. I mean, you think of where Jesus was born there in Bethlehem, and the angels met the shepherds out there on the pasture, and they glorified God out there, and then they said, "You should go to Bethlehem," and so that's what they did. They left their sheep and they went to Bethlehem, and they found Jesus lying in the manger, just as it was told to them. And maybe you'd say, you know what, my life kind of resembles that manger. Maybe it's kind of crude in spots, a little smellier in some areas than others, if you know what I'm talking about. You know? Maybe you say there's not a lot of glamour in my life. It's not always neat in my life. God has a way of showing up wherever. If you'd actually look around that manger, you'd probably say, well, some of my family or some of my friends that resemble some of these animals around here. I mean, these kids are always, they're grazing like sheep, aren't they? They're never full. They're always eating. Or maybe say, you know what? My husband is as stubborn as a mule. Perhaps you'd be able to say, you know, that guy next door resembles that cow in the manger. Or perhaps, like the family that was there, the Holy Family there in the manger that day, you too know what it's like to knock on a door and get it slammed in your face. You understand what it's like to be told that there's no room for you here. It's too late for you. That you are too poor, you're too sick or dull or you're too damaged or you're too worthless, you're too sinful, you're too poor, or you're just downright strange. So often we can look at that manger and recognize a lot of our own lives. So we just look at the stable and look at the manger where Christ was born. You wonder, does God have a place for a person like you? I want to tell you something. Wherever you are, that's where God is. That's exactly where He is. Christmas really is proclaiming wherever you are. however long that you've been there, whatever you've done to get there, however long that you have stayed there, and whatever decisions you made that keep you right there, guess what? Wherever you are, that's where God is. That's what Christmas is proclaiming. He doesn't just go to the palaces and the fancy places. He's willing to go to the very depths of our lives. He's willing to meet us exactly where we are. That's why a baby in a manger is a big deal. Because God is willing to go wherever. God is willing to meet whoever. God is willing to do whatever in order to communicate His incredible love for you and for me. I told you I was going to give you four words to answer that question. I've given you three already. The first one is whatever. The second one is whoever. The third one is wherever. The fourth one is no, it was not. It is forever. Thank you. Yeah. It was the other day I jumped in the car just like I always do, and I turned the key, you know, in the ignition just like I always do, ready to go somewhere because I always got somewhere to go, and, you know, and guess what? Nothing. Nothing. Dead battery all the way. Oh, come on. I've got places to go. I got people to see. I don't have time for a dead battery. And so I did what most people do. I went and I found a 100-proof bottle of whiskey and I doused the engine with it. You know, got back in the car, turned the key. Guess what? Nothing. All right. So I didn't know I was going to have to do this. So I went, I walked down to the convenience store, bought the latest edition of Play Car magazine. I put it right there in front of the headlights of my car, so you know my car could, you know, just take a long gaze at some of those nice European models. You know what I'm saying? After a while, jump back in the car, turn the key. Nothing. All right, fine. So I took the flat screen off the wall, carried it out to the garage, put it on the workbench right in front of the car, turned it on. I said, fine, here's the remote. Binge on Netflix all night long if that's what you want to do. Came back the next morning, put the key in the ignition, turned the key, and guess what? No, it didn't work. I don't know what about you, but it don't work in my house. Got nothing. You probably think I have the IQ of a screwdriver, right? I mean, who in their right mind would turn to a bottle or turn to bodies or turn to screens in order to find life, right? Far too many people, that's who. After trying everything that failed, I decided to do what you probably would have told me to do in the first place. Why don't you go to somebody who could do something for your car that you can't do on your own? And that's exactly what I did. And I was able to get down there, and the man was able to pop the hood, and he was able to pull out the dead battery, put a live battery in there, turn it all up, and did all kinds of things. And I hopped in the car, and I turned the key, and guess what? It came to life. It was incredible. I'm like, now why couldn't I do that? I tried all these other things. You know what? When you go to the one who knows about cars, they know how to make those things run right. And if you go to the one who knows about life, he knows how to make life go right. Jesus put the offer of Christmas so clear. He said, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. The offer is very clear. Eternal life. The condition is so straightforward a child can understand this. Believe in him. Now there's a big difference between believing that and believing in. You can believe that God loves the world and that God sent his Son who was born in the manger, died on the cross, rose from the grave, and is coming again. You can believe that if someone asks for forgiveness, that God will give it to them. You can believe all of that and still miss the whole gift of Christmas. There's a difference between believing that and believing in. Jesus said, whosoever believes in Him. That means put my trust in Him. That I will not perish, but I could have everlasting life. The gift is really a two-part gift. It's a quantity of life. It talks about eternal life. That's living forever. Being forever with God in heaven. But you know what? It's also a quality of life. That's forever that starts tonight. That forever that starts the moment I ask Jesus to forgive me and to lead my life and to guide my life one day at a time. When someone went to do all of that for you, isn't that about the right thing that we should do to respond to Him at Christmas? The shepherds, that's exactly what they did. God sent angels to them and tell them the message. Well, you didn't get an angel tonight, you got me. Sorry. But the message is still the same. God loves you. He sent His Son for you. That if you believe in Him, you will not perish, but have everlasting life in His name. By the way, the car is working again. It's running very well. It wasn't something that just happened in a moment in time when I felt really emotional, but it's something that happened that has now continuing results. And that's what happens when we believe in Jesus. We give our heart to Him in a moment in time, and it has continuing results. As you came in this evening, you should have found somewhere near your seat a card that looks exactly like this. Will you take that and take a look at that there? On the back of that card, I'd like to read that with you, and I believe that you would like to make a decision this evening. It says, tonight I learned the true meaning of Christmas. In response to God's love, this is the decision I make for Jesus. And you can check all that apply. Maybe you're here tonight and you would say, I have believed that God loves me and that God sent Jesus, and I've had many Christmases, and I've believed all of that. But tonight I want to believe in Jesus. I'm putting my faith in Jesus to be my Lord and my Savior, and you would like to receive Him as your Savior tonight, you can definitely do that. You can mark that box. Maybe you know that you have done that. There's a moment in your life that you have received Christ as your Savior, but life has gotten crazy and busy, and somehow you've gotten off track in your walk with Him, and you would like to rededicate your life to Christ. You can mark that box for tonight. Perhaps you know Christ, and you would like to go public with your faith, and you would like to be baptized. I would love to help walk you through those steps so you can proclaim your faith in Christ to all those who are here and who would like to witness your baptism, or you'd like to learn more about living for God. There's a place you can put your name or an email or any other way I could contact you, maybe a phone number, whatever that might be. But the privilege that we have tonight is that we can respond to Jesus just like the shepherds responded to Jesus that night. They went and they found Him. And then they went out from there and they told others about Him. I want to pray for you right now, if you'll bow your heads with me as we begin to fill out these cards. Oh, Heavenly Father, I thank You for the opportunity to gather here on this Christmas Eve, to be able to celebrate once again that You so loved the world that You gave Your one and only Son. Jesus Christ was born of a baby. He lived among us and taught us so many incredible things. But He came to give His life for us on the cross. He paid for all of our sins and rose again from the grave and offers life and forgiveness for all who will believe in Him. Tonight I want to pray for each and every person in this place, for those that would have to say that this evening I believe that God wants me to not just believe all those things about Jesus, but I need to believe in Jesus. That I want to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that this would be their prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm making my heart a manger, and I ask You to come and be born in my life today. I pray, Father, for those that have wandered away from in their walk with You and they would like to renew their relationship with You. I pray that they would say, Lord, I'm preparing room for You. Come and help me to renew my walk in You. For those who are making further steps of obedience with You, I pray this night would be their night of walking closer with You than ever before. Jesus, as we fill out these cards right now, we pray that You would guide us in our decisions. And I pray that as we turn them in to either me or one of the ushers, that each and every one of us would leave differently because we have met the baby who was born in the manger. In His name we pray. Amen.